Well, howdy there, folks. Trinkets for Plebs is the best place where you can trade your hard-earned sats for the finest trinkets this side of the halving. Now listen here. Don't y'all waste another second worrying about inflation, affording your taxes, or your wife leaving you for a yield farmer named Chad because she's tired of listening to you explain how Bitcoin fixes this. Those ain't your problems. Your problem is them shitcoiners. That's right. While you're stacking sats and maintaining decentralization, them slick-haired, vest-wearing token salesmen are out there selling Plebs vapor. Not here, buddy. No, sir. At Trinkets for Plebs, we sell real purity test certified trinkets. You just huddle tight, buy the dip, and buy these trinkets that decentralize the network, and boom, the world's problems are solved. Now, I don't take responsibility for market cycles, the government prosecuting wallet developers, or why your hardware wallet's still in the mail. But I'll tell you what I do take responsibility for: yelling at shitcoiners who are scamming the plebs until they cry. So come on down to Trinkets for Plebs, where you can ignore the reality that you are paying taxes to the Epstein list to start new wars and get lost in the magic of our finest trinkets. Trinkets for Plebs, because Bitcoin fixes everything and the trinkets let you participate in the revolution.
It's been a year, folks. One whole year since the presidential election. Because let's be honest, it's not an election anymore. It's like picking the least rotten avocado at Whole Foods and praying it doesn't turn into black sludge the second you get home. America re-elected Donald Trump. We all acted like it was the second coming of Moses with a lightning bolt in one hand and a multi-sig C phrase in the other. We said, oh, this is it. This is Bitcoin's moment. Wild bull market, hyper-Bitcoinization, plebs dancing in the streets, Ross Ulbricht freed from prison by Trump, in a top hat, riding in a Lamborghini with laser eyes shooting out of his head. Remember that? Remember that optimism? We all got on podcasts, put on our finest 2021 vintage number go up merch, and said, and this is going to be the craziest bull market of our lives. Well, guess what? We were wrong. Like, hilariously, embarrassingly, grand scale wrong. I mean, yeah, Donald Trump did pardon Ross, good for him. It was like the one good thing he did, aside from forgetting to log off Twitter. But the prize action, the parabolic ego death champagne bathtub bull run, couldn't find it with a search party and a team of blockchain forensic analysts. All I've seen, more action in a Cardano subreddit. And no one predicted paper Bitcoin summer. Except maybe that one guy with the glass eye who tweets all caps about MNAV. Suddenly you've got a meme stock ETFs for synthetic Bitcoin exposure being traded by retired dentists in Boca Raton. Swan launches their paper Bitcoin treasury index or whatever, and now it's trading like the Sears catalog in 2023. One of the biggest flops of the cycle. It's like watching a reality show where the final reveal is just a wet rug and a shrug emoji. So did we learn anything? Did anyone learn anything? Absolutely not. Plebs out here still think we're going to vote our way to hyper-Bitcoinization. If we just elect the right guy, Bitcoin will moon. Yeah, sure. Let's elect Kid Rock while we're at it. Let's get the mayor of Margaritaville to run the treasury, and we'll put the Winklevoss twins in charge of the FBI. That ought to fix it. I don't know, man. Maybe Kamala would have pumped our bags harder. Maybe she'd have done some TikTok diplomacy with Saudi Arabia and gotten sovereign wealth funds to FOMO into Satoshis on OpenSea. I'm just spitballing here. The only thing I do know is this. 99% of the space will earn nothing. Nada. Zip. We're still out here voting for kings like this medieval Europe with laser eyes. Still drinking that sweet, greasy pleb slop like it's artisanal bone broth. But hey, it's important to reflect. It's important to look back and say, what did we do right? What did we horribly fumble? And why do we keep pretending the free market cares what color the tie the president wears? You know, so maybe this is an uncomfortable conversation. Let's talk about how we blew it, why we blew it, what cursed meme coin will distract us from blowing again next cycle. This is going to hurt. We'll see what next year is like. We'll see if our predictions are any better.
I didn't vote, so I have the right to complain. I didn't blow it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the people out there who abstained, who they didn't act, they didn't knack, they just observed, they just noticed. You guys take your victory lap.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, the libertarians try and take the moral high ground with their pleb slop, and you know, they're never in the power or position to ever, you know, have any influence or decisions to campaign on no new wars and then start a bunch of new wars. So they think that they have you know, any space to talk. And you know, they'll sit there in their podcast about how if you had voted for Chase Oliver or, you know, whoever, everything would have been better. But you know, the reality is the true winners are the people that don't vote. They listen to podcasts and they just do better things with their time. You become, when you become immune to the political pleb slop, you're going to be a winner at the end of the day. While the rest of society is tying themselves in knots over nothing, you could be building a future for yourself. You can be focusing on things that actually have substance and value. Those are the two winners.
You know, last year, this time, we had a lot of craziness that we kind of thought we saw coming down the road on the horizon. But none of us were prepared for this, like, coalescing of nods of slop, right? It condensed into this, what we're calling now pleb slop, which some people are kind of like sick of talking about this, but it's more talked about, more relevant than ever today. And I just did not see this coming. I did not see it at least being so ubiquitous. Like, there was always some little sloppers on the side, some guys who was made some sailor AI crap and yada, yada, yada. But like, I did not see it becoming, I call it a cottage industry. It's not a cottage industry. This is, I mean, pleb slop could be in the S&P 500 by next year. Like, that's what we're looking at. Like, this is a parabolic growth of pleb slop, and it's not going anywhere. I mean, now that we've identified it and kind of can start calling it out. But if they didn't have any shame to start doing it, like I don't see shame being what stops the slop train. I don't think anything stops the slop train.
Yeah, people are coming to the realization the entire U.S. economy, the entire global economy runs on pleb slop. That's why that's why the markets are looking so uncertain right now. A house built on pleb slop cannot stand, and even the lowest IQ normie pleb sees this and realizes it.
And there's no way that we get less pleb slop with interest rates coming down. Pleb slop is a zero interest rate phenomenon, and it still exists, and it's still proliferates on the margins at, you know, non-zero but still low interest rates. Quantitative easing is like a petri dish for pleb slop, and it's just gonna keep, you know, like spreading like mold, like a fungus. It's like the mycelium. Pleb slop is like mycelium. You think of like this little isolated instance of pleb slop in the forest, so to speak, is isolated, but it percolates underground in the crude chats, and it spreads and it pops its head up again with a new, you know, mushroom head somewhere over in Europe, somewhere over in England, somewhere over in Asia. Some pleb slopper, you know, connected with somebody on a different continent. And we're going to see pleb slop in Antarctica soon.
Do you have any idea what's in or any theories on what's in Antarctica?
Some people think there's an ice wall. Joseph Dick Whitman believes in an ice wall. He thinks that you go down there, you hit the ice wall. Some people think that there's oil. Some people want to go drill for oil. And who knows? It's largely unchartered territory. These like underneath the ice shelf. There's some maps from thousands of years ago that seem to indicate that there used to be not as much ice down there, and that maybe there was some sort of civilization. But I think Antarctica might just be like a blank canvas for Plebslop to paint it. Like if we melt the ice caps, we can, you know, right now think about it, like we're trying to update our infrastructure in the United States, right? Like whether it's the tech infrastructure, the mobile communications infrastructure, the old trad infrastructure for like driving cars on highways and bridges, and to like rebuild and to paint a new portrait of society, we kind of have to destroy or repair or paint over some of the old infrastructure. But that's not the case in Antarctica. Antarctica is a blank canvas. We could take our Plebslop politics or Plebslop economics or Plebslop values, and we can create an entirely new, entirely novel and distinct new artifacts of history in Antarctica, as long as there's no ice wall. But if there's an ice wall, then we can just put, you know, Plebslop graffiti on it.
So Kaylee's been a little bit frustrated with the two of us. She thinks that we're both addicted to Plebslop. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, in my case, it's true. I mean, I don't deny it. But my job as a journalist is to cover the stories of that matter to people, matter to their wallets, matter to their families. And Plebslop matters. Plebslop is important. And in order, it's like being an undercover cop. And sometimes you have to do the fentanyl. You have to do the heroin. You have to do the drugs with the cartel members and the gang members, etc. And you have to participate. You can't go in free of Plebslop if you want to cover this stuff.
Yeah, I would say this is one of the more important stories, one of the most noteworthy stories that's around today is the exposing of this.
Yeah. If you want to cover, you know, like what's the quote? Like if you want to make an egg, if you want to make an omelet, you have to crack a few eggs. If you want to make some slop, you have to crack a few plebs. You have to get dirty. You have to risk getting slop on your suit. You have to risk getting slop on your cigarette while you're trying to smoke it. And it's unavoidable. It's like, you know, trying to work in a gas and oil field, and you're worried about getting some petroleum on your knickers, on your steel-toed boots. It's just going to happen.
This is part of the reason why I like Atlas Shrugged so much is, Rand was, you know, she's writing that book. She was very cognizant of the dangers of Plebslop and what it could do to society and culture. And that's what she was really writing about. That's what the book was this tension, this battle between slop and signal. It was, you know, a very prophetic book. I feel like in many ways she was able to predict what happens when a society universally embraces slop. The people that are pursuing or producing signal, they just get so frustrated, they end up leaving. You see so many examples of it in the book of they're just, you know, people throw up their hands or they say, we're tired of fighting the slop. We're just going to go hang out in Gold's Gulch. Like the slop consumers, the plebs are not worthy of our signal. They don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate us doing things that are valuable in the economy, in art and music. And we're just going to go retreat and we're going to have a signal, high signal gulch where we hang out with people that appreciate us. And I think we're seeing that happen. We're going to see it accelerate even quicker.
Right. You know, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's slop your mother if you want to slop. I think slop onto others as you want slopped upon you. I think if people start to realize that slop is not the currency, but the value for value economy. And if you try to pay other people in slop, you're gonna see yourself slowly deprecated and isolated from the value for value economy. You're not gonna make it. You can't sail to the gulch on a ship made of slop. It's gonna sink. You're just gonna get carried away by the waves of slop. You're never gonna make it to Valhalla. You're never gonna make it to the citadels. And it's a personal responsibility issue at a certain point. It's like, if you want, you know, think about the United States. Well, the people criticize the United States with the way it was founded and it was conquered. And it was people who came from Europe and they said, we're taking our guns and we're going to this new continent. And the people without them, when we got here, we kind of just pushed them to the Dakotas, gave them reservations, casinos, gave them the little slop casinos. And we said, all right, you can live here. We'll leave you alone. And it's like, if you don't want to end up on the plub slop reservation with your little slop casinos, and you want to actually participate in the real society, like you've got to take personal responsibility. Otherwise, you're going to follow the same path as the Native Americans. You're going to follow the same path of New Yorkers who are now trapped on the island of slop with, you know, Zaron Slopdani. It's not a good future. You don't want to go down this road.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that I think is a really important story is the Samurai Dev sentencing that's going on right now. That I think, unfortunately, a lot of people aren't aware of the importance of this because it's being covered up by all the slop, by the bullish news of nothing burgers, of Fidelity offering Bitcoin withdrawals.
Everybody's so worried about Kirk Dozar. David Sachs has promised the economy is going to get another injection of regulatory clarity. Cream Tandle's posting about how the Hong Kong Stock Exchange is going to start allowing, you know, more slop stocks to be traded. The institutions are nobody's talking about the cypherpunks who write code, who actually were, you know, doing things to improve privacy on chain. Like, they are getting locked away for 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the friendliness that the Trump administration is trying to have, you know, with Bitcoin users or companies using or peddling stuff is, you know, they'll arrest you in the same ways that they did before. But, you know, if you donate enough to their campaign, they might pardon you. And so I think this is what they're setting up for is, you know, Keon Rodriguez might be in prison for 3 years until the next selection cycle. And depending on if he or people representing him donate enough to a political campaign, he might get off a year early from his supervised release.
Do you think that this has to do with, I mean, his last name is Rodriguez. Do you think this is... Like the ICE guys were like, listen, go hard, bring the hammer down. Do you think he would be the same if his last name was, you know, Aryan?
Or Jewish? Probably not.
Did the samurai, those have Jewish lawyers?
No, this is something I think part of the reason that they got in trouble. We were talking with Zach Shapiro about this, that unfortunately the samurai lawyers were not Jewish. And that was very concerning to me right off the bat. This Zach Shapiro, a good Jewish lawyer, told us that he was getting funding for non-Jewish lawyers. I think that was a huge tactical mistake. Like, they should have definitely used Fillmore Katz and the Katz and Goldberg Law Firm for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to use this opportunity or take this time to criticize any of the decisions the samurai devs made. They made some bad decisions, but like, that's not the point. The point is, you know, state's evil and it is coming down. And like, anybody who wants to pretend that we're like in this new era of on-chain freedom is deluding themselves, debasing themselves.
Yeah. One of the things that was interesting about the sentencing is it sounded like the judge was citing their tweets as a reason to have a little bit more of an aggressive sentencing, which if you're getting sentenced for your tweets, I don't see that how that's a whole lot different than what we're seeing in the UK right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's slop for slop. I mean, it's just a different translation.
Yeah. I think it's been a while since we talked about this. We talked a lot about it early on in the Beagle Weekly podcast when we first started it, that all we really want to see is equality under the law, that, you know, the politicians and the intelligence agencies, the CIA, are held to the same standards that Bitcoin developers are held to. If it's legal for them to launder money, it should be legal for other people to launder money, for normal people too as well. If it's legal for them to insider meme coin trade, it should be legal for, and I guess this is one, you know, thing that Donald Trump has done, which has been productive, is he essentially legalized meme coin trading for the plebs. Like, Kaylee Welch didn't get in trouble. Other meme coin traders, they kind of got let off the hook. I think what he saw, it was an opportunity to collect more tax money from their meme coin trades. So I think he's a huge fan of that.
You know, one thing I didn't see this happening this year was I saw this coming, but I just saw, you know, you've been dabbling with Corey at a Swan about Pleb Slop, and, you know, he's gotten so low that he's now trying to find an ally in J.W. Weatherman, one of his biggest critics. Like, one of the only people speaking out about Swan in 2021 was J.W. Weatherman. And now Corey is trying to find common ground with the Wookiee.
Yeah, I feel bad for Corey right now. I've been throwing jabs at him because I think he's deserving of it. It's hard, you know, where when all the hoopla started about Swan a while ago, when they had issues with Prime Trust, you know, I found myself, there was a dog pile. Everybody turned their backs on Corey. Everybody wanted to shit on him. It was like the trending thing to do at the time. People like Hoddle Magoo were really having a field day. Udi was just dunking on him left and right, looking like LeBron James. And I was frustrated because I was like, okay, you guys are overdoing it. You're turning the Swan dunking into anti-Swanitism, and I felt almost obligated to defend Corey because, you know, when somebody's on the ground, they're getting kicked on the ground, you kind of have to break up the fight. You know what I mean? It's a little bit too much. You know, you got your punches in, you made them look stupid, they lost the fight. Okay, you got to move on. But you know, what I'm seeing now is that it appears that Corey has learned absolutely nothing from getting his ass kicked. Absolutely nothing. And it is sad to see he's posting the exact same pleb slop that he's been posting for the last few years. It's out of style. It's aged poorly. And he really hasn't, you know, changed anything in his behavior that got him in trouble. And I feel like it's important to address that. What I want to see from Corey is I want to see him just have a little bit more self-awareness, have him post higher quality, more pertinent pleb slop. You know, shitting on the shit coins at this point is just so uninteresting because the shit coins have never been more uninteresting and uncompelling. Nobody cares anymore. Your Tinker tokens don't matter. People are excited about Zcash. Zcash is like some of these paper Bitcoin companies market caps are significantly bigger than the shit coins. That's where we're at. It just doesn't matter. It's an uninteresting topic. It's not a threat to the plebs. People are getting scammed way worse getting liberal arts degrees from colleges than they are for the shit coins.
You know, and this is the sad thing, is a few years ago, Swan did provide trinkets to plebs. And the plebs love those trinkets. But hey, like you said, there's been no growth. There's been no learning. There's been no progress. There's been no value added since, I mean, late 2021, maybe. I mean, I don't know when the value was added, but it isn't. Hey, they taught the plebs how to DCA. They've taught the plebs how to HODL, and because they didn't have a sell button. And most of the people who use Swan, they don't know how to sell Bitcoin if the button's on the website. So they provided some value, but like there's just been zero growth, zero progress, zero improvement. And he should know better. Corey should know better. He's got a, you know, he loves to brag about his resume, and then he touts it as a signal. But if it's so good, you should know better. You should know better. I can think of 1,000 plebs who have improved and grown and progressed more than Corey since 2021. Adam Sinekka is a great example.
You know, after 4 years, I you would imagine that somebody with as much resources and VC money as Corey could come up with a better Twitter marketing model than just copying Pledditor's tweets.
I mean, I don't even think you need VC money for that. I think you could do that if you had a buddy on Tether on Tron, which I think even highlights even more the crisis of content that is played. I mean, Swan hasn't had good content since Simply Bitcoin forked off. Pledditor's running circles around him.
That's what I mean about, you know, the VC money is you can acquire pleb slop dealers, the up and coming ones. Like if he had paid Green Candle a little bit of money and brought him under the Swan umbrella, just imagine how much better their content would be. Green Candle, you know, is way ahead of the curve. Instead of copying Pledder's tweets like Corey has for the last 4 years, he's copy pasting Rizzo tweets. Like Rizzo is the front line of the evolution of pleb slop. Like he is on the beat for sure in regards to the innovation around that.
Yeah, nobody's beating their slop. Nobody's beating their slop better than Rizzo. Weird week for Bugle Weekly. We're recording this one on Friday, so we'll be back to normal stuff next week. But do we want to get into the boosts?
I think so. Our last episode was titled Chain Splits and Jewish Lawyers. First boost from Enoch 616, 5,000 sets, says, I just went through a Nick Sick because I was so retarded and tried a 40 milligram iceberg pouch. Anyway, after the Bit444 scandal yesterday on X, I saw some spammers saying that there was a hard fork they would find a way to spam the new chain. Nazis don't realize spammers like to see them pissed off. Ha ha ha. Meanwhile, I'll be waiting for the Bcash Jr. airdrop.
Yeah, the whole spam thing, it's like Bcash Jr. airdrop. It's reactionary. You can't keep up. It's like trying to create regulations around what the market's doing. It'll just adapt. So really everybody's, what they're doing is they're going to create a chain split, and all the spammers will just move all this. They'll put all the spam there instead of the real chain.
I don't think they really care about stopping all the spam. I've listened to them enough. They just want to make it
right
difficult. And what they want ultimately is they want to have these third parties act as gatekeepers for the spam so that they have an opportunity to send legal letters to these, essentially private mempools or transaction accelerators. That's their goal. It's just,
It's just like regular politics. All of the policy is, it's all optimized to basically make more jobs, make more work, and make more money for lawyers.
When you have a lawyer's perspective, every problem looks like a lawsuit.
And that's right. They're very litigious.
I'm eating, speaking of booze, Barn Miner gave me some spicy beef jerky. So that's his
booze. So last episode, you were eating spicy jalapenos, and now you're eating spicy beef jerky on the wall recording.
This isn't making me cry, though. Yeah, I don't know. If you listen carefully to our episode with Stu, I was, my face was all red. My skin was crawling. I just felt, I was hungry, and the only thing I had next to me was jalapenos, so I just had to eat.
The next piece is from Bubba, 5,000 sats. Bubba says, hell, I wake up every day at 4:30 or 5 a.m. for no apparent reason. Happy tether mining to everyone.
Well, one of the nice things about waking up that early is you get to see the sunrise every day. I think that's a healthy activity. You know, seeing the sunrise, seeing the sunset, taking the time to go sit out there, see nature, takes you out of the pleb slop. It's a good, healthy activity. So I wouldn't say it's for nothing, Bubba.
Bubba gets up at the butt crack of dawn and suns his balls. It's a good way to start the day.
It's pretty incredible to just be able to smoke a cigarette and see the glory of the sun lighting up the chemtrails in the sky. So there were a lot of people saying that the chemtrails stopped with the government shutdown. How long are we on? We're over a month with the government being shut down.
Yeah. It's the longest one ever as of Wednesday.
Yeah, I got into it with Bernoulli on Twitter. He was
mad. Oh, yeah.
Luke was saying that the government wasn't shut down for long enough. I agree with Luke on that point. I thought it was a good point. And his argument for wanting the government to not be shut down is he wants TSA to get their funding, which I thought was a really strange perspective to have.
Well, no, I think you interpreted that wrong. I think he's just mad that they're canceling thousands of flights, and he can't make his flight to some conference.
But they're always canceling flights.
They're canceling like 40% of flights now because they don't have FAA. This FAA is federally funded.
But even when
like they're funded, the air traffic controllers.
Even when they're funded, they're still canceling an absurd amount of flights because apparently there's not enough air traffic controllers. It's just, you know, you look at the world around you, seeing how the free market can fix things, and and how government intervention screws everything up. And it's just, it's kind of maddening to look at. Like, why do you need the government to be able to safely hop on an airplane? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's not even that safe.
It's not safe because you can't smoke cigarettes. I mean, imagine how much safer it would be if the FAA was sitting there chain smoking cigarettes inside their control towers and, the pilots were able to smoke. They're sitting in there, chewing on Zins or whatever, getting gayer. It's like, why are they having to have women pilots? It's because men don't want to sit in an airplane for hours and hours and hours not being able to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, imagine you got to fly from San Francisco to Sydney, Australia. You can't even have a cigarette the whole time.
It's absurd. The only flights that make sense are like from like Knoxville to Nashville, or from Seattle to Portland, like these short, from LA to San Francisco, these really incredibly short flights that you can tolerate not smoking a cigarette for like 30 minutes or so. But yeah, absolutely absurd.
Well, the next one is from Odie, 21 hours at all my hash rate goes to the Bugle Fork. Well, we're not going to be forking, but if we did, it's good to know we got bad axes defending the chain.
Why not fork? If they're going to fork, we should fork too, for the hell of it. All you need is like two bit axes worth of hash rate. We've got open source pool software. We can have our own Tinker token that lasts for like 2 weeks. And has no economic value.
Hell yeah.
It's like spinning off your own test net, essentially. We're not gonna rile you guys up or say Bitcoin's broken to try and support our fork. But might be a fun process. Bitcoin journalism chain. Nakaz 808 sat says another solid rip. Live aloha. Shaka. Well, live aloha to you. Oh, and I forgot to say, guys, Odie's been posting some pretty cool stuff on Noster, some good music stuff. Make sure to go follow him over there.
Next one is from Sasha, probably our hottest listener. Where can we find the pie recipe? Club slop is like sugar. Great analogy. Do you have the blocks for which you posted your grandma's pie recipes available?
No, I'm going to let people dig around for it just for fun. I'm going to tease you guys. But yeah, Sasha's pretty hot. We also have another hot listener, Skate Kate. What's going on here? We've got hot women listening to our podcast.
This women find credentialed journalists hot. I think it's pretty inherent.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody recently, a very well-respected woman in this industry. I won't say who. But she was telling me one of her biggest regrets was deciding not to date a guy because he smoked cigarettes. And looking back at the rear view mirror, her life could have looked incredibly different being with a based individual like that.
Yeah, you don't want to live life with regrets, like not dating a smoker. Speaking of hot listeners, the next one is Shadrach, 323 sats. Great show, fantastic outro song, Pioneers Feed on Signal.
Next boost from Shatterack, 323 sats, says Pleb activated slot fork. Yeah, I still need to go listen to Shatterack's talk. He's working on a new doodad that I guess is going to be cool on Noster. Shatterack's got his hands in a million things. He's always sending me updates. He's always on the road doing something interesting.
Shout out to Shatterack. Shout out to BGC on board. Old Faithful, 100 sats, 3 thumbs up emojis. And then another 100 sats from the other Old Faithful, Dave, Southside Dave from New Zealand. One Pioneer slop is another pledge signal. Handshake. Bitcoin Cash Jr., hello.
Thank you, guys. Before we wrap up the show, I just want to thank you, our subscribers, BTC On Board, Silas Thornbrook, Rob Hamilton, Sasha, Fundamentals, Dave, Sean, Late Stage Hoddle, Turkey, Shadrach, Open Mike, and Avi. Appreciate you guys. We'll get some premium content out here for you soon.
Later.
Coins like it's a huge threat, ignoring that the company's back end is a game of roulette. Brady and Alex, have you heard them yet? Sitting in spaces all day acting upset.
Swan.